coming to you live from Random Field in Latvia.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Hello, and welcome to BitCast.
BitCast live on the road and on online.
It is Chinese New Year, February 3,
the year 2011. The year of the metal Bugs Bunny.
The year of the bunny. And
bunny, I like bunny.
Okay, seriously, happy Chinese New Year.
Kong
Hei Fat Choi, whatever you want to say. Okay, I'm together with Mark again, and we have Billy with us. Hi, Billy.
What's up?
Yeah. What's up? Okay, what happened to that accent of yours, man?
Nothing. Back in Latvia, we cook rabbit for stew, but we have no potato to put in stew.
Radish.
We use radish and carrot, but no potato.
No potato head.
Yes. Alright, Chinese New Year, what did you guys do to celebrate?
I was sick in bed, remember?
Yes. Yeah, you were sick with some indigestion problems, right?
Yeah, and coughs.
And coughs, too.
It's work unless you equate dicking around on the internet as well.
Yeah!
No internet, no life. That's what
just like what happened to me last month for 5 days.
Okay, so
I can live without the internet for 5 days.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You guys go home to the province. You went to Davao and you went to Mindoro. And you guys practically survived, so
I'm not born there.
Yeah, but you still went through a couple of days without internet.
I was born here in Quezon City, but I grew up there anyway, so yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, replace internet with booze and I'm good to go.
Very good.
That's
sir.
The way to go, Billy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of booze there also. Yeah.
All right. We didn't have tikoy, right, for Chinese New Year?
I had hopia. My mom just made homemade puto with the flavors, cheese and spicy tuna.
I'm sure that tomorrow, if you probably go, to bake shops or supermarkets, the prices on those would have dropped already. So tomorrow's your chance.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, because
overruns
after 12
and
midnight.
It's still probably fresh.
I mean. Yesterday, once 12 midnight struck, the celebration began, and there were fireworks, and people started eating their desserts, and decoys, and opias, whatever. They gave their presents to their loved ones, started wearing red shirts.
Red shirts!
Yeah, we're not thinking Star Trek here, but yes, if you put it that way, I hope there
weren't... I don't want to die!
I hope there weren't any casualties, you know? Seriously. We were talking about it earlier with Angel, our other friend. Billy, right? You saw a couple of dragon dances on the way here.
Everywhere I went today, there's a dragon dance.
Everywhere.
I mean, that's not a bad thing. I mean, I like watching these things.
While we were hanging out at Sango, the Master Burger.
Yeah,
we saw a couple, right?
What did we see?
A truck full of dragon people.
Yeah, there were a lot.
Well, apparently the dragon got lazy and just decided to ride on a truck.
The people, its legs got lazy.
Yeah, they were loud.
I mean, that was pretty good. Dragon dance, decoy. I mean, this was a pretty good year for Chinese New Year celebration.
Yeah, the bunny time.
It was more lively than I've seen in the past couple of years.
I guess they acknowledge it right now. And like, you know, and a friend of ours, Tina Gan from red.diva.blogspot.com.
AKA Singapore.
Yeah.
For those who don't know the red dot city.
Yeah, it's red.diva.blogspot.com. Tina was she spent Chinese New Year, and she was talking to me online.
And what did she say? How are things in Singapore, man?
Well, she said it's festive, though.
Yeah, it is. It should be. Actually, before, I went there for vacation, last month.
Yep.
No, technically last month, because December, late December, just before the new year, actual new year, before 2011, I went there and I was able to take in the sights. I went to the Botanical Garden. I went to the Mint Toy Museum.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah. I mean, and I saw the merlion.
That's why I didn't see.
You didn't see the merlion? It's just there, spewing water.
I was stuck in Suntec City covering the Singapore ToyCon 2009.
Man, you should take in the sights of Singapore.
Well, really, this year, hopefully, I'm going there.
Yes, hopefully. I mean, to go to the next toy convention.
Well, that will be December.
Yeah, that's a long way off. But otherwise, there.
Okay. 11 months of planning, that would be good. You know?
I mean, okay, going back to the topic, Chinese New Year there mm-hmm. is just as festive as it is in other Chinese countries like Hong Kong.
Basically anywhere that observes the lunar calendar.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, what am I talking about? Every country has mm-hmm. has a Chinatown, has a Chinese community in it. So,
good thing. Because would you like to celebrate the event with Indian New Year? No, just kidding.
Come on, man. There's diverse cultures everywhere around the world. And I mean, it's just observed everywhere, Chinese New Year. And everybody believes in that.
It's part of...
Even if you're not Chinese.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Lucky Charms. Okay, I'm not talking about
Feng Shui.
The cereal. I'm not talking about the cereal. Okay.
Feng Shui stuff and, you know.
Yes. Bottom line, everybody just celebrated with a good serving of tikoy.
Tikoy!
Okay, outside of that, Chinese New Year is about to end. So, once again, Kung Hei Fat Choy to everybody.
In the
Pop culture news. Billy, why don't you start? You were going to mention something.
This probably has an intersection for Chuck fans and for Parasite Eve fans.
Wow!
Yvonne Strahovski is going to be voicing Aya Brea in Third Birthday.
Yes.
And wait. For Supernatural fans also, because Jensen Ackles is voicing this other guy. His name escapes me right now, but he's providing a voice in Third Birthday also.
Is he the love interest of Aya?
Not sure.
No, okay. I don't know. I didn't check the full listing. But Yvonne, she also provided her voice for Miranda in the Mass Effect series. And, anybody...
Third Birthday is coming out in North America on March 29.
Yeah.
So it won't be long before it eventually comes here.
That's for the PlayStation Portable, FYI.
Which is the one that you posted, right?
Yes, I just posted it yesterday. As soon as I learned of the news, I posted the release date because actually that was one of the biggest games PlayStation Portable owners have been waiting for. The actual localization of the Third Birthday, which is the third game in the Parasite Eve series.
So, it's a Parasite Eve, but the title is Third Birthday.
They can't use the name Parasite Eve anymore due to licensing issues.
That has been plaguing the PlayStation's vast library of games since the get-go. I mean, there are a couple of games that we want to see in the PlayStation Network, but they cannot do it due to localization and licensing issues. Meaning, okay, you might see it in the Japanese PlayStation Network, but you will not see it in the American PlayStation Network.
North American release.
Yes, yes. Because the license has either expired or...
Or it becomes extremely difficult to track down current license holders.
Yes, yes.
Yay.
So it's not difficult for us gamers who want to experience the old times, or rather just play the classics downright. We can't do that. It's not that easy until such time that it appears in the PlayStation Network.
Why did they thought about that title instead?
Third Birthday?
It started out as a cell phone game, actually.
Yes, and it was converted into an actual game. Actually, it's labeled as Cinematic Action RPG by Square Enix.
Mm. It's a fancy way of saying third-person shooter with RPG elements.
Yes, and you know us with action games. We're going to dive into it.
Yeah. Survival? Horror? Kind of like...
No, it's more action-y this time.
Yeah, the other term, survival action, which was popularized by Resident Evil 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I only played it, like, once.
Which one?
The original Parasite Eve.
The two-disc game.
Yeah, from the old...
Which isn't available for the American PlayStation Network. As Billy told me, we were just discussing this over text. It's only available for Japan, right, man?
Aww.
It's only available on, PSN's game archives.
In Japan.
But you can download it online, right?
In Japan.
If you have a Japanese PSN account, then by all means, do.
And the other problem is if you understand Japanese.
Well, I've been playing 125 hours of Monster Hunter, and I haven't... I mean, in Japanese.
Wow.
Of course. We can get by that, Billy. But there are other people out there who just won't play the game unless there's an English translation in it.
Yeah. I mean, I've been using translation guides.
Yeah, so. Which is okay, which is fine. I mean, I played...
Then again, Monster Hunter never really has a story in the first place. It's just...
it's just...
Loot, hunt, loot. Yes.
My kind of game.
It's crack.
Yeah, I mean,
it's crack, I tell you.
Crack for PSP players.
Do they have a PSP?
Yeah, that's... Monster Hunter is what sells the PSP in Japan.
Yeah, but... They have PS2.
There's actually a... Well, Monster Hunter first started its life as a PS2 title.
Yes, and... Well...
Didn't really work
out
there.
Didn't really catch on until...
It went portable.
Yes. Because, face it, I mean, portable gaming is the way to go for most people who don't have time to just sit in the house and play games. And besides, you won't have to bear more budget in... you know, getting a HD TV, for example, and a PlayStation 3. I mean, those are two separate things. You have to spend more. Unlike a portable device like a Nintendo DS or a PlayStation Portable.
Or even an iPhone.
Or an iPhone, which you can just bring around, play from the get-go, just ride. I mean, you're riding the train, you're sitting down, you want to kill some time, just play it there.
You're in someone else's car. As long as you're not driving the car.
I mean, that's the other thing. And now that we're talking about the PlayStation Portable, we must talk about the NGP.
Yeah, next generation portable.
Yeah, which is basically the PlayStation Portable 2. But they decided to name it first the NGP. But according to Sony Entertainment, they're going to rename it sometime.
So it's just a working title.
Yeah, more or less. More or less it's a working title. They're going to rename it sometime in the future.
And they'll eventually rename it to EPP.
What's EPP?
Expensive piece of plastic.
With touchscreen capabilities.
And you mentioned about the app.
Yeah, it has a touchpad in the back. Mm. And, well, of course, anybody familiar with the PlayStation 3 knows 6-axis. So that has 6-axis feature, which is when you move the NGP... When you tilt it side by side, you're actually moving the game as well, or the character.
And finally, it's going to justify all those idiots who actually tilt controllers when they play.
Yeah, well, you mean you see them go like this and like that with a regular PlayStation Portable? Some people will have some blank stares
in
their faces.
I've done that on my Sony Ericsson.
I mean, it's just them basically saying, "What the F are you doing?"
I mean, I hope it's an optional thing for... Because the latest trailer that Sony released for the NGP, they demoed off a bunch of games. One of them was, of course, the next portable Wipeout. And in that, they were actually demonstrating...
Wipeout!
Motion controls for that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the guy who was playing it, or at least the hands that were playing it, were tilting the unit itself.
That's what I was
now,
going into.
Okay, then... Probably be a fun thing on paper, and if you're probably doing it alone or with a bunch of friends who are like-minded, but you do that shit on a train or anywhere
a bus,
in public,
yes.
You will get stares, man.
Yeah, people will just go, "Are you okay, buddy?" I mean, okay, yeah, he spoke about Wipeout and the motion control features. Okay, fine. Okay, it adds a new layer of experience to portable gaming. But, like
I'm said, willing to bet that Tecmokoi is working on a Dead or Alive game that has motion-controlled breasts.
Jiggling mackerel. Yeah.
Which is you want to see Kasumi jiggle all the way? There you go.
No, they're doing it. Well, they've got. Dead or Alive Dimensions coming out
for the 3DS. Nintendo 3DS, people.
No, that's 3D. Those are, yeah.
That's the most expensive.
It's priced at $299, if I'm not mistaken, right, Billy?
$249.
Okay, $50 less. But what price can we expect the NGP to be?
I don't think they can bring that thing past $300 because that's going to be suicide.
And people won't bite into it. They'll just say, the Slim is going to come out. You know, as usual, they're going to say, I'm just going to wait for the next version.
It's like
to come
everybody's holding out on 3DS because of the light.
The plan is, or you can be an early adopter here, and when the next revision comes out, just sell it off and add a little more, then buy the next one.
Much like the iPad now. I mean, everybody's waiting for the big announcement in April when Steve Jobs will say, oh, we added a camera in the new iPad.
And holy say, crap.
The iPad with wings.
Oh, yeah. Trivia. This is probably informative information I read online.
Okay.
A return rate for Samsung Galaxy Tab is 60%, 67%, while the iPad is only 1%.
In other words, if you want to sell it off?
I mean, because they heard that there's a problem with the software or something.
Ah, okay. So it's defective.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like the Tab compared to the
No, the only reason why the Galaxy is selling is because it's an all-in-one. Aside from being a tablet, it's also a phone.
It's an open source.
Yes.
Actually, it's not a phone. It's
a tablet computer.
It's a tablet computer.
Also, which is the phone?
The one that you're seeing there right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, yes. That's the phone.
It's not a phone.
It's a tablet.
It's just a tablet.
It's just a tablet.
But you can communicate. Well, via Skype and all of that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was mistaken. It's not a phone. I thought it was a phone because
you can see the billboard right now.
I am looking at it. Samsung Galaxy
Tab.
Yeah, we're driving past it. We're in the road. Okay, so I was misinformed. It's not a phone.
It's 7-inch screen and smaller than the iPad.
And why don't we just get the new iPad when it comes out this April?
Yeah, that's why I'm holding myself up for that.
Yeah. Okay. The tablet biz is going out of hand because everybody just wants to carry along the devices and use the Wi-Fi wherever it's available. And the one reason why I want a camera in a tablet is because I can use FaceTime or Skype, you know, to communicate. Because it doesn't make sense to carry around a tablet if you cannot use the internet to its fullest extent. I mean,
yeah,
that's why the internet is there, to communicate.
Yeah, and thank the Star Trek fan. If you watch the old Star Trek TV series.
The original series, of course.
You see, the iPad was originally...
Wasn't it new, Next Generation or something?
Yeah.
But I remember there was talk it was on Next Generation, not the original series.
It's Next Generation, man.
But make it sir.
Yeah.
Picard's time. And number one, Riker.
Yeah, number one.
William Riker.
Yeah.
And, we're drifting off. Okay, what else is in the news? For movies, what's coming up?
127 Hours to be screened in the Philippines.
Oh, local release of
what? Local release,
hours,
yeah, in the Philippines.
Featuring James Franco as...
Ex-Green Goblin, right?
Yes, Aaron Marston.
Yeah.
Yeah, an adventurer who gets trapped in... By a freak accident because a boulder falls into and traps his right hand so he can't get out. And
his right arm, I think.
No, yeah, basically. Forearm.
Yeah.
So he has to survive for 5 days, technically. And the rest of the movie is inspired by true events. It's an actual
true life story.
Yeah. About how Aaron had to survive and on just one jug of water, and eventually when he ran out of water he had to go through extreme measures.
Yeah.
I won't describe it because that's why you have to watch the movie. And it's kind of graphic because
a lot of people faint.
There's something that happens and I will not say it for the benefit of those who want to watch it. But it's a Danny Boyle film. The one who directed 28 Days Later and
Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah, Slumdog Millionaire and Sunshine.
The Beach.
They have a positive.
The Beach. With Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, that movie. I remember.
Oh, yeah.
That was after Titanic, right?
Right. And coming up later in February is Liam Neeson's new movie, Unknown.
Yeah, we're gonna watch that.
I wanna watch that. I mean, have you guys watched Taken?
No, I haven't. I've seen it on HBO.
Yeah, that was just one of the best movies I've
seen. Don't mess with Hannibal Smith, man.
I mean, if you thought Liam Neeson was a good actor by being a mentor figure like Ducard in Batman Begins and Qui-Gon Jinn in Star Wars Episode 1.
And that guy from Kingdom of Heaven.
Yes.
Who slaps Orlando Bloom.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was the father of Orlando Bloom.
And he was also the god in... He's Zeus in...
Clash of the Titans. Yes. He is a kick-ass action guy in those movies. Mm. Taken and Unknown. And he also played Hannibal in the A-Team.
Hannibal Smith.
Yes.
Colonel Hannibal Smith.
For those who delve into classic pop culture, you might know him as Peyton Westlake in Darkman.
Darkman!
Directed by Sam Raimi.
Wow.
Spider-Man and Army of Darkness fame.
Oh yeah, Army of Darkness.
Yes. You know,
Shop S Smart.
Yeah. Shop Smart and S Smart and the Necronomicon.
Yeah.
So
Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
It's coming up soon.
March. This March.
Yep, we're gonna see that too.
Zack Snyder film. And speaking of Zack Snyder, he has cast a new Superman.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, tell it, Mark, who is the new Superman?
It's what's that? Henry Cavill?
Yeah, Henry Cavill, who was once called the most unlucky man on Hollywood. Why?
Yeah, go and tell the story, man.
Because he was tapped to play Batman before in Batman Begins, mm-hmm. but he never got the part because, of course, we all know that Christian Bale became Batman. He was also one of the people tapped to be James Bond for Casino Royale, but...
He never got it.
He was considered too young for the part, so they chose Daniel Craig.
Oh, in Harry Potter.
Yeah, in Cedric in Harry Potter.
Cedric Diggory.
Yeah, and the Goblet of Fire. Robert Pattinson replaced him, and he was also supposed to be Edward in Twilight, but of course Robert Pattinson got the part.
Too bad for him.
Curse
you, Robert Pattinson.
Back when, back before Bryan Singer took over the reins of directing. The Superman reboot before Superman Returns. Mm. It was Mac G of Terminator Salvation fame who was supposed to direct a Superman movie called Superman Flyby. And Henry Cavill was actually
casted
as Superman.
Unfortunately.
But when Bryan Singer came into the picture, he decided to get Brandon Routh. And Cavill, as we know, and as I said, was known as the most unlucky man on Hollywood.
Well, he won't be unlucky anymore, but he's Superman.
Yeah, now that he's Superman.
British Superman.
He might be getting his big break now.
Yeah, hopefully.
You were telling us something earlier, Billy, about Henry Cavill. A reaction by who?
Okay. What's that?
Jay Leno?
Was it?
Conan O'Brien. Yeah.
Who was it?
No, I think it was... Wait, I don't think it was. I don't think it was the one who said it.
It was me.
It was Mark.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did he say?
But he was doing the accent, and he's Superman.
Superman is British.
Yeah, like that. It's like he was joking about.
Who said
it?
Batman is British.
Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, I thought he was Welsh, man.
Or Welsh, or
whatever
part of the United Kingdom he's from.
Yeah, but he's basically English, so let's just put it like that.
Non-American.
Aside from being the master of accents, he is the master of weight loss and weight gain.
Who?
Christian Bale.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at him in The Fighter. Look at him in The Machinist.
Machinist?
Yeah, that Machinist. Look at him in Batman Begins. Look at him at The Dark Knight. And look at him now in The Fighter. Man.
Yeah, he's like... He's scary.
Yeah, that guy has dropped and gained a significant amount of weight that a lot of people get scared that he might just keel over one day and because he was playing around with his diet.
He has bulimia or something.
Yeah, well, you know, I gotta
have... He's a method actor.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, if you're a method actor, you're dedicated to your craft. And
yes, and you don't read the script. The script reads you.
Oh.
Primary example of that is when he got angry at who did he get angry at?
He got pissed off at a lighting guy during the filming of a
Terminator Salvation.
Yeah, Terminator Salvation.
During a scene with Bryce Dallas Howard.
It was a pretty intense scene according to reports, and then someone walked into his view and just got a face full of Christian Bale's vitriol.
Basically, because of that rant, and when it went online...
There's a soundboard of it.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
There's a soundboard?
Yeah, somebody...
There's a soundboard. I'm going to make a prank call later using that soundboard.
Somebody made a mix out of that rant. You know, a song. what don't you effing understand? And you want me to trash your lights?
You should download that and listen to it.
Apparently, Bale used a number of accents during his tirade that day.
He became a loose cannon.
Yeah. Okay, now that we're talking about Christian Bale, we should also talk about The Dark Knight Rises.
Which is 2012.
Which is going to begin production this April or May. Right now, there are talks that Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who we know as Arthur in Inception and the star of 500 Days of Summer, is going to reunite...
Zoe Deschanel's bitch in 500 Days of Summer.
Yes.
Cobra Commander.
And Cobra Commander in G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra. He's talking with Christopher Nolan, his director in Inception, trying to get a part in The Dark Knight Rises. Because his co-star, Tom Hardy, is going to play Bane.
The Batbreaker.
Yeah, the Batbreaker, yes, in the Nightfall saga and Batman. And, of course, we know that Love and Other Drugs star Anne Hathaway.
Oh, Selena Kyle. Skin.
Who we hope wears a cat suit as Catwoman there.
Wear nothing at all. That would be good.
Wally Pfister already sort of confirmed it.
Yeah, he confirmed that it looks so good. She's going to be an awesome Catwoman based on reports and interviews conducted in the numerous blog sites.
Yep.
What else? Lest we forget, Billy. This month also marks the release of Marvel vs. Capcom 3. What do you got to say?
Is it going to take us for a ride?
For those who don't know, we're taking a crack at that old theme song from Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
And this may come as a bit of a spoiler, but it's been floating around the internet already. Galactus is the final boss.
Yeah, somebody got a promotional copy and he put up a YouTube video showing Galactus as the final boss.
Which doesn't really... It's not really that shocking. Although...
No.
The boss battle kind of goes this way. You fight, I think, a team of three based on three random characters who are silver versions of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you fight Galactus himself. Now, this probably has been a personal wish of mine ever since Marvel vs. Capcom 3 was announced, but I really wanted them to go back to the whole boss dynamic that they had in Marvel Super Heroes vs. Street Fighter, where it'd be one gigantic screen-filling boss
and one
guy you had to fight who was just really hard to beat.
You're talking about Apocalypse, then Cyber Akuma.
Yes, that was one of my favorite... that still stands today as one of my favorite game end games, actually.
Yeah, actually...
Because you beat Apocalypse, and
you have another boss.
And then Cyber Akuma's here, and then he just kicks your ass all over the place.
Which pays homage to Mazinger Z. In a way, because Cyber Akuma has a rocket punch and a scrander. And yeah, he's just not a sprite swap of Akuma. He was a literally built new sprite for the game. And to me, it was one of the best boss fights because in the original Versus game, X-Men versus Street Fighter, after you beat Apocalypse,
fought your partner,
which was useless.
Which was odd.
Yeah, okay, fine. They made a one up there. But in Marvel vs. Capcom 1,
you fought
Onslaught.
Onslaught in two forms.
Yes, which is basically his giant form and his default form.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the Galactus fight looks pretty nice. I mean, he comes off screen. I mean, first part of the battle, he's off, way off in the background, just observing it. And then once you beat the silver team, he comes in and just basically tries to have all sorts of tricks to just squash your team.
That's how Galactus is. I mean, he is the devourer of worlds, and that's why... I mean, it's no surprise to me, because when it appeared in Famitsu and all of those other screenshots that leaked on the internet, when they announced that Galactus was there, okay, fine, he's going to be the final boss. Because you can take it from the title itself, Fate of Two Worlds. That means that Galactus is going to devour their worlds if they don't put a stop to his plans.
Quite a nice story right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's
there's
basically
a tie-in comic coming out for it, right?
Yes, it's going to be packed in with the special editions of the game.
And you're getting it.
Of course. Of course I am. I mean, come on, I'm gonna invite you guys to play it.
Royal Rumble.
Yeah, we're gonna play it. Just like when I invited Billy over to play Tatsunoko versus Capcom last year. I mean, that was the shit back then, and I guess this is gonna be shit now. Yeah, except there's one thing that some hardcore fans may be disappointed with. The fact that they're going to use the Tatsunoko versus Capcom control scheme, which is just four buttons. It's not going to be a six-button scheme. three-button scheme, and there's an assist button.
A separate launcher button.
Yes. I mean, I'm still used to the six-button scheme that we played with the other versus
games. I've already had enough trouble with MVC2's four-button scheme.
Oh, yeah, they tried to make it low punch, if you press it twice, is medium punch.
But it's
kind of complicated.
Yes, it is. I mean, for those who want
it... Somewhere in the middle, of course, my hierarchy would still be your standard six-button controls. But somehow I'm feeling the three buttons and one assist button better than MVC2's. Because I got pretty used to Tatsunoko versus Capcom's.
Tatsunoko was okay. I mean... We played it, right? So we enjoyed the heck out of it. I mean, how often do you see a team up between Gatchaman and Ryu or Kashirn and Batsu from rival schools?
And then Batsu. There's... the control scheme may look dumbed down, but I'd rather have a medium attack with its own dedicated button rather than just being swapped out or sharing the same command with, let's say, light attacks.
Right. The only reason why they did that, Billy, is because they wanted to get rid of those infinite combo pushers, which, I mean, fat chance, because a lot of people worked around that anyway with Sentinel, Doctor Doom, and Storm.
Iron Man and Infinite.
Yes. I mean, okay, fine. You wanted to get rid of Wolverine's infinite combo from Marvel vs. Capcom, but it didn't do squat for the other characters who could be abused in the game. I mean, okay, fine. They took out Cable in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, but I'm sure a lot of people will work around that in Marvel vs. Capcom 3 now and find some pretty good infinite combos which they'll just spam and spam and spam and spam and spam until the other player says, okay, fine, you beat me, just kick my ass until... Okay, game over.
Button masher.
There's no button mashing here this time because even... novices can play Marvel vs. Capcom 3 with its button scheme.
That would be cool.
Yeah, so I guess that's about it, right?
So,
yeah, it's a pretty long episode.
That's a wrap, man.
It's like, yeah.
Okay, so. We talked about a lot of things. I guess we'll just leave the rest until news comes in again. So, Kong Hei Fat Choy to everybody.
Check us out on geekmatic.blogspot.com.
Yeah, popculturecrusader.blogspot.com.
Beatcast.blogspot.com.
The Beatcast podcast.blogspot.com. And Billy, you want to plug anything?
Let me see. That's the funny thing. Where actually do I start? I write for backtogaming.com.
Okay.
I write for gamemag.ph. I keep a WordPress blog, but I barely maintain it, so I'm probably not going to mention that much anymore. You'll pretty much just find me anywhere.
And speaking of Back to Gaming, visit that at backtogaming.com. It's hosted by our friend Vincent Hausen and Billy here is one of the contributors and main writers of that site.
Yeah.
And Mark, you forgot to plug Next Jam.
Well, not much of a... mostly posting movies there, so...
Still, nextjam.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
You can also view some toy photography at my other site, which is Timster, TimZstr.blogspot.com, or whatever I post there. And we also have a food blog by Mark.
Yeah.
What is it called?
I forgot.
You forgot?
It's Travel to Bite.
Okay, good.
Travel to Bite at blogspot.com.
And there you have it. So, signing off, Tim, Mark, and Betty.
Catch you later, people.
Kung Hei Fat Choy.
Bye.